to get started on this great day that God has given us, the bright sunshine. There's no rain, so hopefully everybody can mow their grass. Any special announcements this morning?
The Christian Ed Commission wanted to make you aware of an upcoming event for the Church of the Brethren. Its National Youth Conference is going to be held next summer. This is an event that's held every 4 years, and it's going to be July 21st to 26th in 2018. This conference is for our youth, and it's for those that have completed ninth grade through 1 year of college or age equivalent. It's held in Fort Collins, Colorado at Colorado State University. It includes worship services with dynamic speakers, small groups, workshops, service projects, recreation, and hiking in the Rocky Mountains, and the typical attendance is around 3,000. If any of the youth here in the church would be interested, please contact me or anyone else on the Christian Ed Commission. You can also get more information on the Church of the Brethren website, or by contacting the district office. There is a set amount of funds in our budget for this event, but fundraisers would be needed to complete your cost. Also, this is probably the most important. This is to parents, grandparents, or interested adults. If any of our youth are interested in going, we will need adults to be accompanying them as chaperones. If only a few of the youth would be, interested, there would be a possibility of joining other groups from area churches of the Brethren. So if you just let us know, we'll take care of it. Thank you.
Okay, can everybody turn their hymnals and stand for page 87 in the blue hymnal, Great is the Lord.
Thank you.
get your bulletins for the call of worship. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of the Lord. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and has given us to us.
Okay, turn to your blue hymnals of 544, When We Walk With the Lord. Welcome back, the Dominican people. And when I was there, the saying was, keep the Lord's fire glowing in your heart. So why don't we quiet our hearts in prayer? Lord, keep the Lord's fire growing in our heart. Never let it go out of your heart. We come as strangers from a foreign land and became brothers and sisters of the faith. With the hugs of friendship and the power of God's love, in faith we are the same, and we will keep the fire going all the time. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, for special music today, we have Wesley Harpold. And we're pleased to have him with us this morning, Wesley and his wife, Cherry.
And Wesley is the son of Jack, which we all know, Jack Harpold. And Wesley is a teacher at the Elko High School, and he will be singing for us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. The first song I'm going to sing is an old one, Were It Not for Grace by Lionel Harris. Time measured out my days, life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world Well, the second song I'm going to do, it's called I Got Saved. It's from one of my favorite music groups, Selah. It's a new one, so you may have heard it, but I'm not sure. So hopefully you have. If not, listen up. It's a very good one. A river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me His power. The love of God won't let me stay away. The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Could all the children come up and sit on the steps? Gonna have a children's story.
How is everybody? You good? Can I get some to sit in front? Because you're going to have to see a little something in a minute. Sit right down here for me. Can you come down here, Miss Ella? There you go. On the side. Wow, such cool, awesome people. How is everybody today? Good? Are we loving summer? Yeah? Are you ready for school? No, I don't blame you. How many more Sundays?
Four.
Four more Sundays. Until you go to kindergarten. Okay, that's an awesome time. Well, today we are going to talk about sin. Can anybody tell me what sin is? Do you know? You forget? That's a good thing we're going to learn it today, right? Yeah. Well, sin can be the bad things that we do that take us away from God and that take us away from Jesus. Now, what are some good things that we could do that would please God? Do you know? No? Cameron got any ideas? No? How about helping somebody out of their chair? Right? That's an inside joke from Sunday school. If we help somebody up from their chair, if they ask us to help them, that's a good thing that would please God, right? How about making your beds before your parents tell you? Or cleaning up your room? Is that a good thing we can do? Okay. Now, let's talk about some bad things. We got Miss Peyton here. What are some bad things that Peyton might do that might take her away from God? What do you think? What are some bad things that we could do? Say you're in school and you have a test to do, but you didn't study. So you look off of your partner beside you, their paper, and you write down, copy their answer. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a bad thing. Thank you. You want to get it? All right, what else? What are other bad things? How about if we lie to somebody? If we tell a lie, if we tell a fib. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Y'all are quiet. Is that good or bad? Bad. Okay, give me your hand. Put your hand out over the towel. Now look, bad things. Uh-oh. Look, they get all over. Look, they're all over the place, aren't they? And Mommy, I apologize for the dress. See, sin gets all over us, don't they? Now, after a while, we try to keep it secret. But God knows, and after a while, everybody sees it, right? It gets all over. And is it sticky? Yes, it's sticky. Sin can stick to us. Now, I'm going to read a verse here. It tells us what we should do. This is from 1 John. Don't worry, we're going to wipe it off in a second. This is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Suppose we claim that we were without sin, that we don't do any bad things. Then we were fooling ourselves. The truth is not in us, but God is faithful and fair. If we admit that we have sinned, that we've done some bad things, God will forgive us of our sins. He will forgive every wrong thing that we have done. He will make us pure. So, what should Peyton do? Should she pray to God? I'm sorry that I did this bad thing. Yes, and then what happens? Look, show your hand. Look what God did. He took the sins away, right? Yes. Well, see, that's what happens with sin. It gets all over you. But thankfully, the Lord Jesus came, and he died on the cross. For who? Us. Very good. Very good. All right, so let's pray together. All right, you ready? I want you to repeat after me, dear God. Say it louder, dear God. Thank you for today. Thank you that we can come to you when we do good and bad. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now my friends, you all can go to Children's Church. Oh, you want to do offering first? Okay, let's do offering then.
What happens when an old familiar fragrance blends with a new? I was out weeding my garden one morning in my new old 1854 home in Mount Joy. I began to sniff a fragrance that I couldn't quite discern. There was a moment when I realized it was chocolate rain. The aroma was created when fresh fallen rain kissed the grass and the earth in the garden and was melded with the fragrance of the Wilbur Chocolate Factory this morning with a batch of chocolate. It was a curious little parable from the Lord in that moment. Ways I was used to knowing him would now be blended with new ways that he would come into my life. a prayer rose up in me. Lord, do not let me miss the fragrance of this presence in my midst. Chocolate rain is such a nice blend of two beautiful smells. Lord, let the new come. Forgive me where I have limited you by using the ways I have previously known you. Forgive me where I have limited my choices of friends to only the old familiar. Help me to welcome the new friends who want to attract to my life. Lord, as the church triumph, lead us as a fragrant aroma that will cause the world to pause and wonder. Blend us together in a new grouping of body of Christ, that our neighbors, co-workers, and surrounding nations would receive us in a new pleasing way and be attracted to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and blow on our gardens, waft the fragrance of Christ through the air. Can you smell the chocolate rain? Okay, can the ushers come up front? Okay, may we pray? God, use us in this day to combine our gifts with another so that a new blend of experience of Christ can come on earth as it is in heaven. In your name we pray, amen. And children may go to children's church. And turn to the blue hymnal, 555, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning on this wonderful Lord's Day. Just a few things I want to announce before we have our morning prayer. I want to thank Brother Wesley this morning for the wonderful special music. I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I understand your father is very happy right now that he's married. So, but thank you for providing the special music this morning. Also want to welcome back the group from the Dominican Republic. I was over there at Dominican Republic, maybe about 10 years ago. It is a wonderful experience. You never forget that, the ministry there. A few things that I want to go over before we have our prayer, time of prayer. In your bulletins, you'll see an insert for a list of people that we need to remember in prayer. A few people that we need to remember is, first of all, we're going to have a funeral here tomorrow at 11 a.m. Sister Alma Geist, who attended church here a while ago, she passed away last week. And so we need to remember that family in prayer as we have the funeral tomorrow at 11. Also, there's a lady from the church that Rachel grew up, where I also pastored in Virginia. Her name is Pat Whitlock, a young lady, only about 40 years old, mother of two sons. She has she's going to be having brain surgery August 7th to remove a tumor. It's estimated that the surgery is going to last anywhere between 10 and 12 hours. So please keep the family of Pat Whitlock in prayer. One other announcement before I go to prayer is I put in the back table where they had our introduction of who we are as pastor. I put in the back in the gathering place a sign-up sheet for anyone who is interested in knowing more about Brethren beliefs and Brethren practices, Brethren biblical practices and beliefs. You're welcome to sign up. I kind of want to get a feel for how many people are interested. I'm looking at having that class sometime in September, sometime in the evenings. I don't want to take anything away Sunday morning during Sunday school, so I'd like to have it in the evening. So please, if you're interested, please sign up this morning if you're interested. Let's come to our God as we have a time of prayer. God, we're so grateful to be here this morning in this time of worship. Lord, we read with joy what David said in Psalm 122, I was happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Lord, it's so good to come into your house of worship this morning, to not only worship you, but have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the faith. And we just pray, Lord, your blessings upon this time of worship this morning. And God, as we come into worship, we want to remember those who need special prayer for the many that are listed on the prayer concern list. We lift each one to you this morning in prayer. We also want to lift up our unspoken requests this morning, Lord. All of us have them. And we lift each one of those requests to you this morning in prayer. And Lord, this morning the sermon is going to be about the trials that we face. And God, with the trials that all of us bring this morning, we just want to lay them on the altar and help us just to put them in your hands. And God, this morning we want to pray for the family of Alma Geist, who passed away. We pray, Lord, your strength to be upon the family as they deal with this loss. We also want to pray for Sister Pat Whitlock, who's having surgery on the brain, and very serious lung surgery. And so we pray your blessings and strength to be with Pat and the family. We also want to lift up anyone this morning, Lord, who knows of any upcoming surgeries, Lord, that we just lift them to you in prayer this morning. And God, as we approach the time of reading the Word, we pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to your holy Word, which gives us strength in times of need. And God, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Before I read the scripture, I got to tell you something that gave me joy this week. I think I need to, each week that I preach on joy, I think I need to share something that gave me joy this week. I was having a conversation with Daniel, my son. Believe it or not, Daniel can talk. We were talking about how old we are. And so I was questioning Daniel. I said, "Daniel, how old are you?" He held up four fingers. So, "You're right, you're four." "How old is Benji?" He goes, "Two." "Okay. How old is Daddy?" He thought for a moment, looked up in the air. He says, 50 plus two. And he was almost right. He made me a lot younger than I actually am. So that gave me a lot of joy to see that. But let's read together. Also, in your bulletins, you'll see an insert sheet here that you can fill out this morning as we go through the message. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." May God add the blessing of the reading of his holy word. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word which was spoken. Help us, Lord, to know that you gave us your word so that we might grow in faith, grow in you. And I pray now that you guide every word that I speak in the meditation of my heart, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be uplifted. In his name we pray. Amen. How do we find joy in times of trial? Now, today's scripture text is one of the hardest lessons the Christian will ever know, and that is to find joy in our trials. The reason why we have a hard time finding joy in our trials is because it goes against our human nature. Whenever we face a trial, our human nature says we got to fear that. But it is in the response time where we will find joy. It is your reaction. It's your testing time where you find the joy. How do you respond in times of trial? What's the end result of your trial? I got to share one of the most tragic times in my life. It occurred when our family was taking a long road trip along the Pennsylvania Turnpike. We were on our way to take a long road trip to Chicago. I was only 9 years old at the time. My father was driving the car. My mother was in the car along with my three of my sisters. We entered a tunnel along the turnpike. Then all of a sudden, my father suddenly fainted at the wheel. No reason why. We don't know why he fainted. He just fainted at the wheel while he was driving. And so there was all this panic and fear, and my mother managed to grab the wheel and my oldest sister, and they pulled the car over to the end of the tunnel, and we were safe. Now, this was in 1968, so there were no cell phones to call 911 for help. And I remember along the Pennsylvania Turnpike at that time, there were these emergency phones, and you had to walk away to get to the next emergency phone. But there just so happened to be some construction workers at the end of the tunnel. And there was this this trailer that had a phone. And the construction workers were able to call the nearest hospital, and they called for the ambulance. The ambulance came and took my father and my family to the hospital, and we were in good care from then on. Now, you might ask, how did that bring me joy? Well, I look at that as my faith in God. Now, I was only 9 years old at the time, and I was not really deep in the faith. It was before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so I was kind of learning about who God was. But after that tragedy, I had a better idea of who God was. Because I was thinking, how was it that we didn't crash when we're inside that tunnel? How was it that there just happened to be some construction workers at the end of the tunnel? And how was it that there was a phone there and we didn't have to walk miles and miles and miles, possibly with a serious medical condition? My only conclusion was that we have a God who is protecting us. Now, how does this apply in your life? Charles Swindoll, who is a biblical scholar, says this. He says, and I quote, "I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes," unquote. So attitude is key when it comes to having joy in times of trial. How are we to face and handle our trials? Well, look at them as opportunities for God to work through them. Look at them as times of growth. Look at them as God doing the impossible. Look at them as strengthening your faith in God. William Barclay, another biblical scholar, says this about finding joys in our trials. He says, and I quote, "These trials are not meant to make us fall. They are meant to make us soar. They are not meant to defeat us, but they are meant to be defeated. We should not bemoan them, but rejoice." It kind of puts it in a different perspective than what we know. Now let's look at the context of this morning scripture text. If you look at James chapter 1, the writer James, of course, it was a apostle who was persecuted for his belief in Jesus Christ. And so he's writing out of his own personal experience of a persecuted Christian. And if you look at James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, James writes to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, the 12 tribes is talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. But like Israel, Christians at that time were scattered because of their persecution. And the biggest problem these persecuted Christians were facing were poverty and persecution, according to a biblical scholar. And so James is telling them, you got to find joy in those times. And the only way to find joy in your trials is to have patience. Now the key verses, I believe, are James chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. After James tells people to have joy in trials, he says, and I quote there, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now let's look at that word patience. Patience is not just sitting by, idling, not doing anything. Okay? That's not what patience is talking about that James is referring to. Patience means active endurance. Patience is having the quality to stand, facing the storm, struggling against difficulty and opposition. And it's knowing that we can't do that on our own. If you want to have patience, you must learn to wait on God's timing and wait for God's answer in your time of trial. Many people take the approach when they face a trial of wanting an instant answer. There's no such thing as an instant answer, according to the Bible, when it comes to our trials. There's no such thing as an instant solution. So James is telling us this is what happens every time you face a trial. Your faith is being tested. God is showing you. A test means that God is showing you what you're made of. And James would also add that these trials are divinely permitted and sent by God. And that's where many people have trouble. The biggest question that people struggle with, and I'm sure you and I struggle with this as well. The question we ask is God really causing this trial to happen? But our better question to ask is this. Does my faith in God need to be tested right now? Maybe I'm too complacent. You know, sometimes trials serve as a wake-up call. Maybe you and I need a wake-up call from God to find out, okay, what is my faith being made of? Maybe this is a way for us to turn to God. Maybe we need this trial in order to lead us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now think about this. When was the last time your faith in God was tested? Maybe you're in your own trial right now. And so James would say, because of that, you need to hear from God. And that leads to the next verse. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. James' solution, you need to ask God for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So James says, okay, you need insights into the will and ways of God. Okay, you don't need to seek the ways of the world. You need to hear from God. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom means you need practical insights into life, and that's what wisdom from God is all about. So when James talks about wisdom, he's talking about enduring God's trials so that you'll have joy and that you'll be perfect and complete. Back in 2002, I was playing a game of basketball with some youth from the church that I was serving in Ohio. And it was a very, very competitive game of basketball. I really got into the game. And I was dribbling the ball, and I was about to make a move to the basket, made a sudden move, and all of a sudden I tore my Achilles tendon. Went down, okay? I remember the guy at the hospital says, you know, I see this all the time. I see guys your age playing with youth, and then you end up breaking something. And you wonder why. It's because you're one of those weekend warriors. I said, okay, I guess that was wisdom for me to hear. So you need to stop doing that, he said. But anyway, I ended up having surgery. I was on crutches for 4 weeks, and that was the first time I was on crutches. And as I look back at that time, I learned three things. Number one, I learned to appreciate the people who work in the hospital, because I saw how they work when you're a patient. Number two, I was more sympathetic to people who are handicapped, because as someone who was on crutches for 4 weeks, I was handicapped. I knew what was going through. And number three, I was thankful for the people who helped me. You know, I was single then. I didn't have anyone at home helping me. I couldn't do my grocery shopping because you ever try to carry a gallon of milk on crutches? You can't do that, all right? I couldn't carry a cup of coffee. You know, I tried hopping on one leg. And you can't do that when you're holding a cup of coffee. I tried that, and coffee spilled all over the carpet. So I had coffee stains. So I had to get a lot of people to help me. And so I was very appreciative and thankful for the people who helped me. Another point we need to know when we're in a trial is to look at the end result. Look at the end result. Everything in life has a destination. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. In other words, everything happens for a reason under God's timetable. Everything in life has a destination. Every person has a destiny. We will all be judged by God in the end. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we're all going to be judged by God, and we're either going to spend eternal life with God in heaven or in hell with Satan and his angels. And so we need to put this in proper perspective. What does a trial say about my destiny? So any trial that we face, we need to ask this question. What does this trial have to do with the kingdom of God and my destiny with God? Any struggle we face, any trial we face, we need to ask, what does this have to do with the kingdom of God? It will put your trial in a different perspective. Many people just go along with life with absolutely no thought about God at all. And this is where James says, if you want to receive wisdom from God, you need to ask God and seek his ways. Look what it says in verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. James chapter 1, verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, what does James mean by double-minded? Double-minded means double-souled. It's when you're thinking in two ways. It's when you want a little bit of God and you want a little bit of the world. You want a little bit of God's ways and you want a little bit of man's ways. That's living a double life. James says if you approach God with that point of view, you're not going to receive anything from God. James says you got to be all for God and no one else. There is only one solution to any trial, and that is God's solution. God's wisdom, God's ways, God's word. God's word is the only word we need to hear from when it comes to trials. God wants you and I to be totally devoted to him in any trial. And so the real test for us is to find joy in our faith in God. And the only way that will happen is to know that every one of us is in a testing period where God is testing, God is seeing what we're made of. Okay? So I have concluded, as I was studying this text and looking at it from a practical point of view, I concluded that as Christians, we are all in a process called character building. Character building. God is building character inside of us. And we can either fight against this or we can accept it. If we fight against it, we fight against God and we're going to lose. If we accept our character building with God's help, we're going to win in the end. It reminded me of taking my driver's test for the first time. You know, when I was 16, I took my driver's test like all of you did, I'm sure. You know, you reach that magical age, and that's just the desire that every 16-year-old has, and that's to get your driver's license. Well, I flunked my driver's test. Do I have a witness? Anybody else flunk their driver's test for the first time? All right, I see some hands. That's good. That's good. Well, I not only flunked it one time, I flunked it three times. I did. First time, I didn't drive 8 to 10 miles an hour around those S-curves. I went 5 miles an hour, something like that. So they flunked me for that. Second time, I didn't make a complete stop at the stop sign. Every time you're at a stop sign, guys, you need to stop. You got to stop. They're going to get you for that. Maybe not here in Meyerstown, but they do in Ohio and in Virginia. Okay, so I always did something wrong. And so, you know, I was really bummed out about that. Okay? But really, now that I look back on that, I thought that was the best thing that could happen because it made me a better driver. It made me more aware of the road signs, made me more aware of the laws and the crazy drivers that we see on the road. Okay? You know, the real test of being a good driver is defensive driving. That's why bus drivers take defensive driving courses. You got to be aware of the crazy driver on the road in front of you or behind you. That's what I've learned. Okay? The other thing about taking a driver's test that most people forget is that you're only 16 years old. Right? So if you pass your driver's test, God bless you. You got a lot of growing and maturing ahead of you because you're going to face situations that you never dreamed of. Okay? You're just beginning to learn the process. You just begin to learn the rules of the road. You will continue to be tested because you just don't know what kind of condition you're going to be facing. Okay? Same way with situations that we face in life. You just don't know what situation you're going to face in life, which is why we need to be tested in our faith. So experience builds character. You will face a whole lot of tests along the way, and the key is to stay on the course that God provides for you and me. How many times do people quit after failing for the first time? Think about that. When you and I are building Christian character, you can't quit. The only reason people quit is because of our pride, because of ourselves. But when you continue, you're trusting in God that He knows what's best. And when we do that, we believe that we will experience true joy. So if you're experiencing a trial today, you need to know two things. Your trial will either make you or break you as a Christian. If you quit, if you say it's too much for me, you're going to break because you're relying on yourself and on your own power. If you continue and trust in God's plans and His ways, it will make you to be the man or woman God wants you to be. And you will experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. God will give you the joy that you need. So let's say if you leave here today, let's say someone comes up to you and asks, do you have joy in your life right now? You should say, yes, I do. But it's only because I have Jesus Christ living within me. It's only because I have the joy that comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from me. It comes from the Lord. And that will be a good witnessing tool for others to hear. So continue the journey that leads to eternal life. Allow the Lord to build your character. Look at your trial as a way for God to do a work in your life and as a way for God to do the impossible. Trust Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank You and praise You that You're a God who is with us in any circumstance we face. And God, our prayer today is that You would give us the strength to endure what we need to know when it comes to building true character in Your ways. I pray, oh God, for anyone this morning who is experiencing a trial to the point where it's going to break them, Lord, I just pray that today they'd make that decision to follow fully in Your ways and in Your truth. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, I'd like for this time to be a time of examination where there might be something in your life but you're not sure about. And if you need prayer, I invite you to come forward and I'll gladly pray for you. The altar is always open for anyone who wants to commit their life to Jesus Christ or if you need prayer for any purpose. So let's all stand as we sing our closing hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, number 340. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has shown us such love and in his grace has given us such unfailing encouragement and so sure a hope, still encourage and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.